I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. As we consider that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Faithfulness. As part of the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit in our lives, these qualities, every one of these qualities that we're talking about today are the attributes and the very character of what God is like. So when we're walking in fellowship with Him, we are displaying the fruit of faithfulness. It was a good setup this morning as we began the service, starting out in Lamentations, the weeping prophet Jeremiah, speaking to a people who were now, because of their sin and neglect, now they are fugitives. Actually, they are prisoners, as it were, in Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah is weeping. Verse 20, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 19, I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and gall. I well remember, and my soul is downcast within me. Sounds like he's just been through the pandemic, doesn't it? Yeah, a lot of people hurting after this. My soul is downcast within me. And yet I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Father, we come seeking You this morning. I pray that as we talk about us and being faithful, we'll understand where You want to take us as we pursue You and walk in the Spirit. So lead us. I pray, Father, that You would lead me as I speak. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, you know, I want you to take your questions. Would you turn your bulletin over? And I want you to add a question to number one. Add a question. This would be 1B, okay? 1B. Here's the question. When have you taken care of someone else's property? Something that was important to them. Now, I hope our interns are writing in your notes today that question. And all you, the young people, would you please make sure you type that into your phone if you're taking notes on your phone? I know some of you are doing that. When have you taken care of somebody else's property? So I wonder, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hands right now, but I wonder, have you ever taken care of somebody else's dog? Now, that's quite a responsibility, isn't it? To take care of somebody's living beings. Remember, we took care of my friends Dave and Linda's dog, a beautiful, beautiful golden retriever that was like this at the very center of all of their growth groups. They had no kids at that time, And that dog was like the baby sitting in the middle of the room. And of course, everybody, while they're going through the Bible study, has to pet Jake, you know, has to pet Jake. And then came the opportunity for us, when Dave and Linda were going to be out of town, to take care of Jake for them. And he said, now when you feed Jake his whatever time of day it was, breakfast, dinner, I don't know. But he said, when you put the food in the bowl, make sure that on top of it you put an egg, sunny side up. What? What dog is particular about a sunny side up egg? Well, Jake was particular. So we had to do as we were instructed, because that dog was precious to Dave and Linda. And this just stands out of my mind. Well, they were gone, and it was wintertime, and it was snowy out. And as part of the routine for that day, I hooked Jay up to the cap of our well in our front yard, and he had a long leash, and I didn't test to see how long the leash was, but Jake made his way up to the top of the hill in our front yard, and he must have gotten out on the street. I didn't know it was long enough to go that far. And there was a knock on my door that somebody had just run over Jake. Now, fortunately, it was a snowy day, but I still made a trip to the vet. And I mean, what do you do when you're taking care of somebody else's dog who eats a sunny side up egg? Well, just to put your hearts at ease, Jake survived our dog sitting experience, but they never asked us to do it again. So here's where am I going with all this? Well, we are all in charge of taking care of somebody else's property, aren't we? Something that's precious to someone else. And that is, we are all supposed to take care of something that is very, very precious to God. Now you'll see in your notes, I want to draw your attention to the notes here. The first question is, what has God entrusted to me? Now, I wrote that in the notes, what has God entrusted to me? That's because all of us need to answer this question. What has he entrusted to me? Now, if you're taking notes right now, you should probably just start writing as rapidly as you can, because quite frankly, God has entrusted a lot to every single one of us. He's entrusted my well-being in body, soul, and spirit, and mind. Take care of your mind. My wife was doing exercises this week with silver sneakers. What a great thing that is. And she learned a new technique to take care of her body and mind, anyway, at the same time. And that was while she was exercising, she was instructed by the instructor to count by threes backwards. I don't know, what was the number you started at? 530-something. And then she had to count backwards from that number by seven while she's exercising, you know? How do you, man, come on. This is tough stuff. And probably the older we get, it's probably even tougher. But wait, you guys, every single person here, take care of your body. Your body is important to God. Take care of it. Now, well, we get sick. But take care of what you have while you have it. You've got a family. That's something that God has entrusted to you. Your relationship to the family. Now you can just write. Don't just write the stuff I'm saying. Think of all the things that you've got a neighborhood that you live in. Is that just an accidental thing, or is God entrusting your relationship to the people around you, the students? You're in school. You're responsible. God has entrusted to you. Take care of this education that I've made available, our country has made available to you, our community has made available to you, your parents have made available to you. Take care of what you're doing in that school, and all the relationships to all those people that you uh, that you're with. You're responsible for the team that you're part of. You're responsible. Take care of that stuff. Because you see, God has given you those opportunities. He's given them just right there. I was at the gym the other day, and there was a man who was sitting right across from me on an apparatus. And I've seen this guy and his wife the last 4 years there in the gym. They come in and they talk to everybody else. We've never talked. And last Friday, he said to me, "So are you a Viking fan? Was that the Viking from some high school?" I said, "No, that's Minnesota." My Viking shirt on. And he started talking about a losing cause. And then I asked him what school he was part of, or what team he was pulling for. And then we stuck out hands there in the gym, where people are still, you know, cleaning their hands between each apparatus, you know, with sprays and things like that. But he stuck out his hand, we shook hands, and we exchanged names. And you know what? I'm now responsible. God just said to me, I know he said to me, "So John, I've given you the opportunity to have this relationship, all because of that losing team that you've pulled for." No, it's okay. See, God just opens up opportunities for us. A neighbor or a friend says to you, "Man, I'm having trouble with my parents. Man, they're driving me nuts." Well, or my siblings, or my coach, and God has said to you, are you aware of the fact that I've allowed you to be in this position right now? I've allowed you to have that relationship. You know what we call that, everybody? That's called a stewardship that God has given us. Because God cares about that person on your team. He cares about that person in your school. He cares about, this is not just an accident as you're stumbling through life. God cares about that neighbor or that coworker or that sibling. He cares about my relationship with my wife and how I treat her and how she treats me. It's a stewardship. It's a relationship. He really cares about it. And he doesn't want any of us to damage these opportunities or take lightly these opportunities he has placed in our lap. Do you believe you have relationships like this that God wants you to take care of? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. I really appreciate that Dennis, I don't know why he chose that text apart from the fact that maybe in my notes I said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. I'm going to read these again from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This was probably the first sermon I ever officially preached as a young pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. "By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation." Now, he's trying to explain something, folks. He's been kind of in a little bit of a feud. Some people have been saying, "Well, my teacher is Apollos," and somebody says, "Mine is Peter," and somebody says, "My teacher is Paul." And he basically says, "Well, who's Paul? Who's Peter? Who's Apollos? Come on." All of us are guys who've been given a stewardship, a responsibility. So verse 10. Now, just remember, everybody, he's talking about the kinds of things we go through in one sense of the word every single day. God has given every one of us a stewardship. So Paul says, "By the grace that God has given me, I am right where I am. I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. I laid a foundation for you. But each one should be very careful as to how he builds. Those other people, those other teachers in your life. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping the flames. Here's the point. I'm standing up here. I'm not the first preacher to preach from this pulpit. I will likely not be the last who will speak from this pulpit. But I have a stewardship every time I step into this pulpit. And I need to build the way God wants me to build from this pulpit. I need to be clear about what the Word of God says. Now, I can build with gold, silver, or precious stones. What's gold, silver, or precious stones? It's what comes about as the result of a present tense, trusting relationship that God, by the Holy Spirit, will work in my mind, in my heart, and through my voice, through my study, my preparation, my meditation, and I need to just continually trust him. And at the end of the day, if there's anything built as a result of this, if you catch anything, if you put anything into it with me, cooperate with me in this whole process, if we're working in this in some sort of symbiotic way, if that's going on, then we will have been building with gold, silver, and precious stones. But if I veer off on my own and just, you know, I'm just so worried, I've got to get you all laughing and giggling and poking the person next to you, and I've got to try to capture your attention in the flesh, goes back to what we've been talking about in the book of Galatians, right? Don't work in the flesh, only work in the Spirit. So make sure you're listening to the Spirit and walking with the Spirit. Paul says, we could do that, or we could build with the kind of materials that just are burned up just like that. When God's righteousness, when he says, so John, did you preach in the Spirit, or did you prepare in the Spirit? Did you, all these weeks that you've been thinking about this one word, faithfulness, was that in the Spirit or was that in the flesh? So the people would think well of you. Did you come to church today in the Spirit? God gave you a stewardship. Here's the stewardship today, right now. I know, because you're here. So he says, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do today with this stewardship? You had a few minutes to listen to this message. What are you going to do with this message? Are you going to take it seriously? We listened to a woman who spoke at the, wow, it was a great message. This woman was at the leadership conference down in Vista this week. And I don't know, her name is Megan Fait. You guys, did any of you hear her this past summer up at Hume Lake? Megan Fait. She's a popular speaker. Dan coached with Megan Fait out at Azusa Pacific. Man, she just really knocked it out of the park. But she started out with these words. She said, well, here we are. We've got a few minutes now. I hope that this is a great experience for everybody here. She was opening one of our favorite passages, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. Emphasis on 13. And she said, I just hope you have a great time. But you know what it's going to be? Are you serious about listening today? Because you'll determine whether this was ultimately effective. What are you going to do with what you're listening to? You have this moment. Guys, every one of us is a steward of this moment. We are involved in a church. A church is an assembly. It is an assembly of those who, you can write this down, those who show up. Who show up physically, who show up mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Now, sometimes people can't show up all the time, and so they show up because we try to make a streaming service available. So they show up that way. But eventually, we need to see them. We need to see each other. We need to be in each other's presence because we need each other. Sometimes we show up simply by a text message. And that's, you know, if nobody's listening, send a text message to somebody. I've missed you. How are you doing? How's that wart on your nose coming? You know, I've sure missed looking at it. A letter, a phone call. What are you going to do with this time and with your responsibilities to God? So Paul drives us forward in this letter, this amazing letter to this church that was really characteristically known as it's kind of a very self-centered. So Paul writes in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those who've been entrusted with the secret things of God." I think it's the King James and the New King James and the New American Standard say of the, we've been entrusted with the mysteries of God, things that need to be explained. So we've been entrusted with the mystery of God that needs to be explained. Boy, it's a great message for pastors, isn't it? I've been entrusted with the mysteries of God. That's a terrible, terribly wonderful but scary thought as I step into the pulpit. But hey, everyone, newsflash. As we read God's word, as the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, we all have been entrusted with the mysteries of God. And there are people in our lives, our missionaries, Tom and Barb Ward, communicated this well while they were here a couple weeks ago. We've all been entrusted with the mysteries of God, which means since a mystery needs to be explained, God has us part of our stewardship as we traverse life with people who need to hear the mysteries of God. So we're stewards of those mysteries. Verse 2, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. How do we know what that looks like? How do we know what faithful looks like? When have you witnessed faithfulness in people who showed up for you? They called, they sent a text, they sent an email, they talked with you on FaceTime because they knew you needed some encouragement. And along the way, you had the chance with them. How'd you handle the stewardship? Did you read some scripture? Did you talk about how God was, what he was doing in your life? Did you describe to them how awestruck you were by the faithfulness of God? By the, we sang about it today, the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Did you give testimony to that? Hey, I'm a living example of the faithfulness of God. The questions that you are asked in the back of your bulletin, they say, how have you witnessed the faithfulness of God? And you start writing, I've seen it in my family, I've seen it in my friends, I've seen it in my pastor, I've seen it in my sickness, and I've seen it in my health. I've seen it in my success, God's faithfulness, and I've seen it in my struggles and failure. I've seen it in the transparency of the people around me who've gone through some tough times. Yesterday morning, I came to the, I wouldn't miss it. It was on Saturday mornings. I only miss it if absolutely can't be there. But I come and you're all invited, quite frankly. You're all invited to our prayer time on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. And yesterday, I got together with these guys. I'm the only non-Spanish speaking person. So they nicely accommodated me. And then when we prayed, they prayed in Spanish as well as English, and cool. But one of the guys, when we'd been talking, we'd been shooting the breeze, catching up about a number of things. And then one of our friends here at the church, and I'll tell you, his name is Willie Asukar. He said, are we going to give testimony? Yeah, let's hear it. And Willie had something really, really, really fresh. He talked about a struggling relationship. Now, I'm going to clue you in here. He talked about a really struggling relationship that he was having with his boss. He works at Whittier College, and his boss was a outside vendor over there, managing the kind of stuff that Willie does. And Willie said, this guy wanted to get me fired. 20 years he's worked over there. 20 years. This guy, if you know Willie is energetic. He will do anything to help anybody. And this guy wanted him fired. Well, I'm just going to, he said, praise God, I didn't get fired. In matter of fact, though I've been part of this other company for all these years, I finally got my dream job. Whittier College actually hired me to do this. Went right around that company. And he said, praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. You see, guys, here's the deal. I hope that you're thinking and just writing down. You just can't sit here, folks. Please don't sit here and think, oh, that's a cute story. That's really neat. Please don't sit here and think, you know, well, I don't think I have anything that I... Wait. Come on. Think about how God has been faithful. Are you ready to tell the story at the right time to a friend or neighbor, somebody in the hospital, somebody on a sick bed? Are you ready to tell the story about how God is faithful? Let's be clear. We belong to God. We belong to Him. I belong to Him. If you're a follower of Christ, you're not your own. You are not your own. Do you understand? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, the scripture says, therefore, glorify God in your body. What's that mean, glorify? Take the spotlight off of you and point it to Christ. You are bought with a price. Turn the attention to Him. Turn the attention to His love, to His joy, to His kindness, to His goodness, to His patience with you. Turn the spotlight on. That's what glorifying means. Turn it on His faithfulness, and you've seen it. I asked Dan to have us sing that song today, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Man, I know for some of us that's a favorite song. So we turn the spotlight on Him. When we walk in the Spirit, folks, when we walk in the Spirit, we will be faithful. We will be faithful with the life and the opportunities that God has given us. To speak to him, to speak about him to each other, to speak about him to our families, to open God's word unashamedly in front of people and just say, have you heard this? I remember a young guy that we knew as kids who was Down syndrome. And he was in our church, and he couldn't read. He couldn't memorize. You could tell him your name, and 3 seconds later, he couldn't remember it. But when he came to Christ, something happened. This Holy Spirit was alive in him. And it was revolutionary to me. He would take his Bible. He couldn't read the words, but he began to memorize the words. And he'd take his Bible to high school, and he'd go up to his friends and say, would you check me on my scripture? And he was quoting scripture that he had committed to his mind and heart. I can't explain it apart from the goodness, the love, the kindness, and the faithfulness of God. What has God done in your life that's pure evidence of the faithfulness of God? He was being faithful when I wasn't. He was being kind when I wasn't. He was being good when I really wasn't. Faithful because he always shows up. And you can count on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness of God. I thank you that we see the faithfulness of God in Jesus. He promised he would go through what he went through, all the way to the point of rising from the dead and ascending into heaven. And he promised, he always keeps his promise, that he's coming back. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness throughout time. You were always there, even when we, your people, have been so unfaithful. And you were always there in the Holy Spirit to turn the attention, to turn the spotlight on Jesus and all he has done and said and promised. Father, I thank you that you have told us that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ, and therefore we are to glorify God in our bodies. Glorify you with our minds, our memories that you've given us. Glorify you. Turn the spotlight on you in every responsibility and opportunity you give us. May we walk in the Spirit so that we don't try to generate a ministry. May we walk in the Spirit individually and together, so that Christ will be known. Thank you, Father. And Lord, if there's anyone here who just feels really kind of they are on their own, I pray that they would turn to Jesus. I pray that they would come to him. Now, Lord. Would you please stand with me? Let's pray. Let's continue our praying. Lord, we're on our own. We're about to leave this place. We'll begin rubbing shoulders with each other. We'll move into this week and move through it for as many days and hours as you give us, minutes and seconds. And I pray, Lord, that we'd understand that these lives are yours. And I pray, Lord, that we would all enjoy this opportunity to live for you. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us alone. You don't leave us to figure out how we should do this. But that the Holy Spirit is in us, teaching us, reminding us, empowering us to move forward. Thank you, Lord. So we go with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.